an AA meeting? My name is Lisa and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday Night Blue Chip Speakers Meeting at the NABA Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on AABlueChipSpeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them. I must have this thing. So I've been seeing this man around AA for quite a while. He's looking all humble right now. And he delivers a really powerful message of recovery for men and women. And so I give you Kenny Teak.
So, a lot of people in here tonight. Everybody got coffee?
Yes, sir.
You know, when I first came to AA, this guy looked at me and he's just like, "You like coffee?" I said, "No." "You want to get face sober?" I said, "Yeah, take my coffee." Pardon my friend. It's going to happen. Forgive me. But that's what the guy told me. I hated coffee. But before I even get, I don't know. Anybody in here don't like coffee? They smell like coffee. Many meetings started with a coffee and a resentment. I've had some of the best coffee in my life in AA. But before I go any further, my name is Kenny Thomas, and I'm a real alcoholic. Hey, y'all. And it is by God's grace and mercy, the company I keep, the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, a kind, loving, and patient sponsor, his sponsor, wife. Some people say the enabler. I'm saying the blesser. Jails. Anybody here ever been in jail before? Hey, you never know. Sometimes you go in there just like, "No, not me." treatment. Anybody in here ever relapse? All right. So, my sobriety date is July 14th, 2007. And since that date to this date, I have not found it necessary to pick up a drink or a drug. I'm the guy that love. Anybody here love Jack Daniels? I love Jack Daniels. Hey, man. I'm saying Jack Daniels. When you tell your story, you give me the flavors. So I drink it all, man. I don't care. I drank rubbing alcohol once with sugar and lemon. I had to come down, man. Oh, I forgot to add to that. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous talks about the real alcoholic. That does not mean that I'm any better or worse than any one of you in this room. That is not what I'm identifying with. I'm identifying with what this book talks about, and it says in a couple places. But when it first introduces it, hey, hold on. If I take off any more, you got a baby. And the problem with that is I got to give you your money back because I don't have, you know, it's so make it rain, you might make it drizzle. I don't know. My wife tells me that I keep God very busy, and so the judge. Hell, I forgot what I was about to talk about. So it wasn't important. A real alcoholic. Thank you. So in this Big Book of Talk, it gives us, you know, when I first came in this deal, I didn't come to AA. I came to AA by accident. I was talking with a buddy. He might even be in here now. I don't know. But I was at a meeting. I first got sober. I'm going to just keep it real with you. I first, and it was AA, I didn't have an alcohol problem. My problem was crack and cocaine. So I went to the Sister Brother Fellowship, the one that came right after Alcoholics Anonymous, whose co-founder got sober in AA. For the sanctity of Alcoholics Anonymous, I will not say what it is right now, but fill in the blanks. Or see me after the meeting, I'll gladly tell you. Anyway, I went to this meeting. I was at this clubhouse, and they switched up the rooms. So I walked in the room. It's about as packed as this. But they had different readings. I'm like, what the heck is this? But the reason why I stayed in there is because I saw a guy that spoke at that other meeting the other day who I could... We just clicked. Anybody ever? It was just a vibe with him. His name is Rocky. Rocky does not mind me saying his name. In fact, he probably would want me to say his name. Loving guy, and I still love him to this day. But I saw him in there, and I raised my hand because my stomach was flipping. I was Jones, and I had a burning desire, and my desire was about getting. I had to go cop. They were like, oh, "That meeting is next door. We talk about alcohol in here." I was like, I'm not going to say exactly what I said to them, the whole group, but it started with the F word, and there were some fingers that went up, and I stormed out the room like an angry 3, 4, 5-year-old kid because my feelings were hurt. You can probably punch me today. You might get hit back, so don't try it. But you say something to hurt my feelings, I'm going to try to hurt you. Which lets me know right there, and I didn't know it, that this is an inside deal. So anyway, I walk out the room. This guy stops me and says, "Hey, man, you got a problem drinking?" I said, "Not really, man. I got a problem with crack." He said, "What you do before, during, and or after?" I said, "I always drink." He said, and he opened up this big book, and he showed me something that this doctor said. And at that moment, Rocky shared with me, the only opinion that's going to ever matter for you in recovery is the doctor's opinion. I said, "What? Who's a damn doctor?" And the doctor jumps off. I'm going to share this with you. I read from this book. I go by this book to the best of my ability. So this doctor, his name is Silkworth. They used to call him Silky because, you know, the name was Silky. You know, I like Silky. Anyway. The doctor says, "The subject presented in this book seems to me to be of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcoholic addiction." Okay. "I say this after many years' experience as medical director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country treating alcoholic and drug addiction." Oh, snap. They said drugs in the big book. They said drugs in AA. Somebody got to get kicked out. They got to go to a different meeting because we only talk about alcohol in here. But I'm being very facetious. But when he shared that with me, he's like, "Dude, you're welcome. Just come and don't say nothing. In fact, I encourage you to shut up." So I did. That was, I think, 2004, maybe. That was not my. I was in and out of these rooms a lot, trying to figure it out. I go out and I come in here, feel better, identify with what you guys are saying, relate, drink the coffee with a lot of sugar, a little bit of coffee, a little bit of sugar, a little bit more coffee, you know, and that began to happen. But I kept on finding problems between the meeting and home. Never, I was never drunk during a meeting. Never, I was not the guy that would show up to an AA meeting drunk. Great waste of my, I'm not waste. That's a waste. I got shit to do. But I was sitting here wondering, what the hell am I not doing right? I thought I was doing the program. What I heard was meeting makers make it. I didn't hear the rest of it that they were saying. Work, get a sponsor, work the steps, and help others. I didn't hear trust God, clean house, help others. I heard get to a meeting. Don't drink, don't use, no matter what. 100% right. I don't debate that. I'm the alcoholic that this book talks about. So it says, what about the real alcoholic? He may do crazy, absurd, tragic things when drinking. And the problem with me was that I didn't see myself as a real alcoholic. I thought I just had a problem drinking. You know, early on in this book, it lets me know that it distinguishes the difference between a moderate drinker. That's my wife. Since I'm telling the story, let me go ahead and share this with you. So we go out to eat. She's just like, I want a margarita. I said, okay. I wonder what kind of tequila should I get? I know this one. I got it. Well, I don't want anything expensive. You don't want nothing cheap, baby. Trust me. Why? I said, cheap to me is crack. You know, I'm going to eat because I'm safe. I'm on an alcoholic budget at this point. I got to budget it out. Okay. That shot there cost $15, and that one cost $3. Yeah, that means I got 24. Oh, yeah, I'm going to eat with this one. Make that run. But anyway, ordered the drink first. She started drinking, and she drank. She had like this much. You guys see this? This is like there was enough in there for like a big gulp. I've had enough. I'm feeling buzz. And she didn't drink it. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. And she's done that many times over the years. And I always look just like, I don't get it. And I share with her that's the difference between me and you. When you do that and feel the buzz, you stop. When I feel the buzz, I don't come home. I come home 3 days later. A friend of mine, Mel, always says, why is it that alcoholics and dope fiends always come to in just like 3 days? He arose 3 days later. There he is, smelling like butane and beer, Jim Beam, Crown Royal, Hennessy, hooch, and rubbing alcohol. My problem that I didn't even see the problem. So, you know, my first drink took place when I was about 14 years. Well, 14, I was in 10th grade. I don't know how old I was in 10th grade. Because I started school, might have been 15. And I know it was 10th grade because that was the year that movie Eddie Murphy Raw came out. It's a little bit before most of y'all's time. And I didn't even tell you guys. I'm originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My mother and father split up when I was 8 years old, but my dad was still in my life till the age of 10. At the age of 10, my mom remarried, and we moved from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to Grambling, Louisiana. Let me just go ahead and preface this real quick. Milwaukee's a city. Grambling is not. It's country. I'm a city guy. I'm not country. So these guys, I moved down there. I'm used to playing soccer. I'm used to playing sports, roller skating, doing stuff in the city, right? And these guys will talk about going hunting. King, you want to go hunting? Nah, I go hunting at the AMP, man. I don't. Want to go fishing? I go fishing at the AMP, too. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, man. You go hunting for coon. What the hell is coon? You know, I had no idea what coon was, and I ate some. I was like, this is good. What's coon? This is good. What is this? The coon. You know what coon is? I had no idea. Then they said, that's coon. I said, that's a fucking raccoon. I hadn't been drinking yet. Picking up. I'm on some right now. Anyway, by the way, this is natural, kid. Would not do that to y'all, so forget his waste. But I moved there, and some things were happening. I wasn't with my biological father, I was with my stepdad, and things are different in the South than what they are in the North. Like up North, we just said yes and no. Down South, you say yes and no if you want to, you're going to get smacked. And it may not be by your mom and daddy. It might be by somebody across. You know. So, I learned yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Real quick. No problem with that. the problem I began having was that I just stood out. I always wanted to fit in with the fellas. Sports was my thing, and I was very good at it. Very good. I was fast, tough, but I didn't hear this term until I moved down south called red bone. Up north, it was called mellow yellow, so I don't know what the hell that's talking about. You can't tell now, but I had curly hair when I got sober. Shit faded away. Sports was the avenue that kind of helped me to get in with the fellas. But I still didn't feel at ease, right? And every year we would go back to Milwaukee. And while back there, I would hang with my best friend. I've been knowing this kid. I still call him kid. I've been knowing him since I was about 3 years old. And I was born in 72. We're both still alive, so you can do the math on that. Because I can't. My wife can't, but I can. Fuck that. It was Christmas. We would go back every Christmas and definitely all during the summer. So we're back there one Christmas. And I'm sitting there and he says, yo, man, we're in my grandparents' basement. My grandparents had a basement, had a nice bar. We were sitting there. That's the spot we would always hang out at. We weren't drinking. We made a pact. We're not going to drink. We're not going to smoke any weed. What we're going to do is we're just going to go on ahead. We're going to go to college. He's going to play football. I'm going to play basketball. We're going to make money. Drive Ferraris and wear t-shirts and sneakers and shit. I do wear sneakers and t-shirts. I do not drive a Ferrari, and I have not played in the NBA at all. I did play college ball, and I hated that shit. Weed, man. Weed is a powerful drug, too. And so is beer. So, that's what happened. But we're sitting there, and he was like, hey, man, look. This is what I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to share with you what he said, and then what I heard. So what he said was, Kenny, Butchie made it to the Junior Olympics. But you know what? And he's been drinking and smoking weed, man. That's what he said. Here's what I heard. Yo, Kenny, because Butchie has been drinking and smoking weed, he made it to the Junior Olympics. Whatever one he said, I was like, man, then I'm faster than him. How do you make it? And we sat there, and there was like dead silence. And he said, man, let's go ahead and just get us some drinks. See what it's like. Cool. So we're sitting there, and I'm looking at what to drink. I want to make sure that I find something that my grandparents don't really, that they would notice, right? So I found this bottle. This dusty old bottle. It said N07. Had no idea. That was me, my friend, for the rest of my life. I ain't know. But we drank it, and I didn't tell you guys this, but growing up, I was a skinny kid. I had curly hair. By this age of my life, I had acne. I stuttered. It was real hard for me to speak to young ladies. You guys used to have cooties. You got rid of the cooties. You guys had exactly what I wanted. I didn't even know what it was, but it looked good. But I couldn't. See, I would stutter. And then all of a sudden, oh, shit. Now, first, my chest was on fire. My throat was about to explode. So I drank a little bit more. And all of a sudden, hey, how you doing? Yeah. My name is Kenny. I need your phone number right now. That's how I felt. I'm strong. Man, I was a skinny kid. My face was all of a sudden smooth. I even grew a little mustache back then. Hair was laid right. I could play basketball better than Mike. I was smarter than Einstein. I felt like I touched life. Like the promises that we read, I was painstaking about getting that drink down, right? But what I said at that moment, and I don't know if I said it out loud or in my head, but what I said was, I got to keep this feeling for the rest of my life by any means necessary. Now, there's a trick with drinking that I never mastered. how many drinks does it take for me to get the buzz on? One? Two? Okay, let's go with the whole pack. Six pack? Yeah. Get another one. And my nickname changed because I told you guys I was Mellow Yellow and the Red Bone. It changed to Earl real quick. Earl. I drank that Earl. Man, I was everywhere. And that happened, you know, I didn't drink a lot during high school, graduated high school, go off to college, went to HBCU in Tallahassee, Florida. And before going to HBCU in Tallahassee, I went to school down in Fort Lauderdale, played basketball down there, had more drugs playing sports, collegiate sports, than any time up to that moment in my life I did. And got to school there in Tallahassee, Florida, and I drank because I was bored. I drank because I had a job. I drank because I had an A in a class. I drank, damn, because I fucked the damn class. I drank because I missed the damn class. Hey, I got a job. Party, let's have a party. Hey, I got fired. Oh, shit, let's have a party. But it was fun. I didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was introduced to me as a friend of mine. We were drinking buddies, and she's active in this deal. She asked me to not say her name, so I won't, but still good friends. And me and my best friend were walking around. She comes out, they're walking. We're getting ready. You know, we're getting in shape. I was about to go out for the night, so I do my push-ups, you know, pull-ups and everything. Walking around with my brew in my hand. So I just finished working out, and that's what you do. And she sees us, start talking. I told her, hey, you're going to come out with us tonight? She says, no, I don't drink anymore. I'm an alcoholic. I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. So why is it alcoholics drink? Silly. She said, no, they don't. I said, yeah. And she looked at me. Now, my best friend drank me under the table. She looked at me and she's like, you think you're an alcoholic? Hell no. Now, this is 1997. I didn't know what this was. Damn sure didn't care what this was. And every time I saw a group of you people together, you guys were crazy. It's still true. We are crazy, but we're crazy together. That's all cool. I love it. That's my first introduction I had to AA, was through her. She asked me if she thought I was an alcoholic. And I was like, you didn't ask this motherfucker. Why'd you want to ask me? You didn't ask this cat. Went out and drank. Frank got arrested, I didn't, and it was so fun. What began to happen was there were some type of consequences I would get. Anybody ever here dodge the pink elephant when you're driving?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that happened to me. Or even hitting the Joker and wondering what happened. It's called blackouts, I guess. And the whole time I was drinking, I wanted to find a way to control it where I didn't throw up, and I wanted to drink like a gentleman. And I found it. It's a nice powdered substance that you snort in your nose. I found a new sweet spot. I hit that sweet spot, and I was off. And then I found another way to smoke the sweet spot, and that's when things really started going. My intentions were to just do this amount, and I'm going to go ahead and hang out with the fellas, and that never happened. Or by this time, I was married with kids. I'm at home. My wife was working night, and this is where stuff was really starting to get crazy. That I could realize it was getting crazy. Do I leave the kids at home and go cop and get drunk and bring the stuff back home, or do I take them with me? That was a tough one. Two favorite words. Fuck, I'm going to go ahead and put them in the car, man. Be good, buckle on in. These guys don't mean nothing's going to happen to them. And there's been, and this is in South Florida where there's, you know, hell, every major city's got its spots. And although I did grow up in the spots, This is my own personal belief. Most parents that I know, I try to do better for the kids. And that was a tight one that I had there. Flash forward a lot. I was out one night, picked up, and got busted. I used to brag about, I had a bunch of friends. All of them got arrested for anything. I'm like, shit, I beat the odds. Black man in America. Got no record. Click, click. Shit. Got one. Got me. And I got caught. They said I had a gram of dope. And they said I had a full fifth of, I don't even know what kind of, it was some ABC liquor. I said, man, if that's a fifth and that's a gram, go ahead, let me drink the smoke there right now and then take me in. Because it was not. Right? They took me in anyway. And it was a consequence that I had. And the consequence was like, I know this feeling. Because this happened, it'll never happen again. And about not even 2 weeks later, I'm back at it again. And see, by this point, I started coming to these classes. I didn't call these meetings. These were classes. And I had to get that piece of paper signed. Anybody else had it? You got to raise your hand on it. I know you're here. But I did. And hell, I should sign my own. I'm beating the system. They beat me. I'm going to get mine. I sure did get mine. I got locked up again. I got mine for the same reason. And I remember the first time that I made an honest, sincere desire to stop, to get sober, was in April of 2006. And I can remember that day as clear as a bell. And just because I remember that day as clear as a bell, I didn't stay sober. What happened to me, and what I see happening to a lot of guys and gals, is get in here, stuff starts getting good. I was getting guys sober. Not the workings of Alcoholics Anonymous, but introducing me to a power much, much greater than me. I call it greater than. No, I got these guys sober. Yeah, sober. They were sober at me, but they sober. God, that's a crocko. You know. That's not it. I don't have enough power to get myself sober, so I cannot get not a single solitary person in this room or any place else sober. Or drunk. I don't have that power. I know it today, but I didn't know it then. So, during that time frame, I had a sponsor. His name was Rocky. The same Rocky dude took me through these 12 steps. And I did begin sponsoring guys. And things began happening great in my life. Started a career. Became a productive member of society. And I didn't do what I was now told to do. Like plan my day around a meeting. At least one. Call and talk to. I had to call 5 alcoholics every day and talk to at least 3 besides my sponsor. I didn't do that then. I was going at meetings. I was talking at people. I knew what needed to be done. And to make a long story short, I had 14 months and 2 days in relapse. Anybody ever had those using dreams? Well, 14 months and 2 days, that shit was a nightmare. If anyone's ever relapsed before, they can always tell you the same thing I'm about to tell you. It sucks. There ain't nothing fun about it. Not a damn thing is fun. I stayed out for 6 weeks. Felt like, I don't know, felt too long. There was a fun moment. Out of 6 weeks, I probably had about 4 hours of fun. I just couldn't stop. So when I came back in here, July 14th, 2007, I was sitting in my apartment. We bought a house up here. My wife and kids was up here. I was down in South Florida still working. And I was sitting in my apartment, and I sat there and I said my old famous words. I won't say the exact same wording, but damn. I just said I wasn't going to do this, and I did it again. I tried AA, tried the other fellowships, acupuncture, Reiki, full submerged baptisms, changing religions again and again, getting married, getting divorced, getting married again, having, I tried to do all these things to be responsible. I tried to find sufficient reason to stop or to moderate. That's a hard drinker. She don't work for me. I am the alcoholic that this big book talks about, that everybody shares about in every meeting you ever go to or even think about going to. I am powerless over alcohol and drugs, mentally and physically. This very second, I have no power in it. I know this. Because further on in the same book, on page 30, it says, we know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. I accept that. With all of its glory. I ain't going to recover it. I've used up my card. I either smoked it up or drank it up, but I don't have it anymore. AA, can you take it? See, I had to come in here like this. I don't know what to do. What I got to do? Because I was missing something. The most powerful word in my life has been the word something. And I never knew why. Until I came back into this deal and began asking questions. The question was not why. The big debate when I got sober was, is alcoholism, are you born with it or did you learn it? I remember sitting in meetings, I used to go to Tribal Club a lot, and was like, I don't care which one it is, I got it. How do I get this off my back? So, the very next day on July 15th, which was a Sunday, I was staying with my sponsor, Rocky. And I wake up the next morning feeling like crap. And I said, hey, Rock, look, I know we're going to go to some meetings. I'm going to get these white chips. We're going to go meet and hop. He said, yes. I said, okay. He says, but I'm about to go to church. I was like, hey, Rock, you know my feeling about church. But he says, well, I'm going. You want to go? And I had to sit there and honestly look at it. Look at my situation. My exact words, pardon me, Tim, ain't shit else working. Let's go. Nothing else is working in my life. Maybe this will work. I don't know. But something's got to work because my way is horrible. And we got in the car. We go to this huge church down there. And my head is down the whole time. We're standing up. Longer than what I've been standing up here. Mind you, I just came off a run. And I'm standing there. I'm sweating and I'm freezing. I'm sweating and I'm freezing. And I'm like, somebody give me some candy in this? Shit, I feel like I'm about to die. Just hot. Well, you know. Come and we sit down. And I want to share this with you guys because it's something that grabbed my attention. I'm not a religious guy, but Alcoholics Anonymous in this big book tells you to be quick to see where religious people are right. So, if you haven't gotten that far in your book, get your sponsor and get that far. If you need help with that, see me after the meeting. And there's some other guys and gals in here who are willing to help. But this guy got up there, and he said, right now I know somebody's in here. He's a jonesing, coming down, stomach's flipping. I'm like, he said, y'all remember when I was an alcoholic, a dope fiend, and a pimp? I was like, that's my dude. And I'm joining. Sign me up. I got to be his right-hand man, though, right? And he said, hey, bring it here, and your life will change. And I was like, I'm sitting there saying to myself, you know how many times I've gone to the altar? You know how many times I've gone to the masjid and pray, or to a temple and pray, or to a Buddhist temple? You know how many times I've done that before? Pleaded and begged for God to help me out. God had it out for me. That was the feeling that I had. I went up there anyway. And I don't know, we leave out of there, get in the car, and I made a phone call to my dad. My dad's just like, hey, you called your wife? No, hell no. Hey, man, I got some peace right now. You want to talk to her? Hell no. Well, call her and let her know that you're alive. I'm like, did you talk to her? He said, yeah. I was like, she knows I'm alive. And the reality is that I didn't want to dance to the music. I don't like dancing to the music. We have steps to dance to the music. Those are called amends. But I got to clean up some stuff before I get into that. And as I'm dialing the phone, I shoot up another prayer. Hey, God, if you're the, you know, give me one more chance. I'll do anything to not get back to the situation again. Anything. So the phone rings and she answers it. You know, going off of me. And then she says, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to give you one more chance. I said, you on time? You on time, ain't you? Okay. But there's a condition. You know, you got to pack your stuff, take your job, you're leaving, me and your father will be there on Wednesday, and this was Sunday. I had a job, I think. I thought I did. Wasn't sure because it didn't show up in a couple of days. And I was in sales, still am now, so I was in sales. And I was like, I don't know what happened. I came to, right, on Monday. I came to work on Monday. And I let them know that I'm leaving. I'm going crazy. They come and get me. We get up here, and everything is different up here in Georgia. Everything. Y'all ain't got no ocean breeze. I still this day refuse to eat seafood here in Atlanta unless it's from fresh water. I don't care. It's just different. I came to these meetings. Y'all was doing meetings wrong. Mind you, I only had like 3 days sober, but still doing meetings wrong. And I came in here with a huge resentment. Because I didn't share this with you, but I went to high school in Tallahassee as well. And while there, a whole school year, I was called the N-word every single day. And it wasn't by people, you know, it wasn't by my fault. Like, yo, what? No, it wasn't like that. It was like get out KKK type stuff. And I left resentment. So I came into AA with resentment. If you're a white man with a twang in your voice from the South, we got a problem. Oh, forgot to tell you, my stepfather is a black man. I told him I'd kill him. He hit my mother. So now I have resentment, trust issues with black men. I'm a man. It's not easy doing that in the South or anywhere. I don't like any men. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm a man. You know, it was a problem. And I came here with that. Now, I live in Conyers, so I went to a meeting out there in Conyers my very first day, and I told them to move up here, go to a meeting, put your bags down, get your ass to a meeting. That's what I did. I go there to this meeting in Conyers, and I see pickup trucks, and I'm like, all right, well, I'm bigger now, fellas. I'm going to weigh 168 pounds. I'm bigger now. All love. And what happened is these guys share with me that I need to get a sponsor, and I was told that multiple times. Up here, face to face. I hooked up with this guy. His name is Don Bryan. If you guys don't want to know who Don is, every third Tuesday of the month, the 10th Street Group has a night to remember. It's an AA speaker meeting. Don's a cool guy with the sunglasses on. He has white hair. My beard is platinum. His shit is white. Just want you guys to know that. All right. That's a joke. Y'all can laugh whenever you want to, but it's the real deal. Anyway. I started working with Don, and Don and I got busy with these steps. And I started feeling, I want to feel different. He shared with me, if you want to feel different, you got to be willing to do something different. Your way, and he said, if your way works, keep doing it. But if your way don't work, sit down, shut up. He didn't say that, but, and listen. See, when I came in here, they told me to be quiet, sit up front. I was new. They told me, the new folks sitting in the back, oh, they about to get high. Kenny wants to be back there with them? Hell no. They came back here in the back, you know. Peace, stay in the back. I'm up front. Do I take notes? What do I do? Shut up and listen. I had mess. After the meeting, oh, Kenny, how much time you got? 17 days? Oh, 17 days. Talk to the guy over there that's got two. Get his number. Should I give him mine? No. You get his number and you call him. Hey, Kenny, while you're at it, why don't you go on ahead and be a greeter at this door at the Triangle Club? And every meeting you go to, you got to greet. I went to every damn meeting that they had because I was afraid to go home and be anywhere by myself. And I had a family. Still do. The process of life began to change. My home group is the Heavy Hitters Men's Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. We meet every Saturday at 5 o'clock at 1933 Moreland Avenue. Any man in here that wants to know about that meeting, see me after the meeting. Any man in here who's thinking they need some help, or you want to do this on your own, catch me after the meeting. I would love to talk to you. And I don't help. God works through me. So, I don't have enough power for any of that stuff. But these 12 steps help with that. I'm talking fast because life has gotten so well. I want to try to identify with everybody in here. I really want to convince the new guy and gal in here that this works. I know this. I always talk about a meeting that shouldn't try to convince, but I told y'all, I try. The messed up thing with trying is that it doesn't exist. I'm either going to do it or I'm not. I'm either going to do the 12 steps outlined on the wall, thoroughly given to me in this big book. Well, my sponsor pronounces it to me by word of mouth and tells me and shows me how to do this a day at a time. These guys, I asked them, I'm taking this up at 9 o'clock. I told you I'm trying to go up. I know, but these jokers got to go. I got stuff to do, man. All day tomorrow. So, check this out. We read and how it works. So on page 58 in the big book. I'm going to share something with you guys. If you decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it. Hey, Don, what's it? You don't have it yet, Kenny. Well, how do I get it? Well, the first thing you got to stop doing is asking why. What do you mean? Okay. Because why is irrelevant? What the hell? Well, what do I do? Great question. How do I do it? Another great question. The big book in these 12 steps, the big book in 12 is going to show us exactly what to do and how to do it. We're going to learn how to live in the now. What? Go to Hitters Meeting and see you later on. So I go to my Heavy Hitters meeting, leave the meeting, and these guys are like, hey, can't even go out to eat. You want to go with us? No, man, I got to drop this thing off to this guy named Bill Sanders so I can go to the Atlanta Men's Workshop, which is a men's spiritual retreat where 400 men get together in the woods. Whoa. Hold on, Don. I don't do that. What? I don't do woods, and I don't do 400 dudes. There's not going to be no women there? No. All right, so we going to go, is this what you do? Yeah, man, it's just what we do, all right? So, I go out and eat with these guys, and these guys are sharing stories with me about different events that took place in their life during the past week or two, and what step problem is it? And they got to like a third guy, and I'm sitting there eating, I was like, hey, and by the way, I had some nice Jamaican food. Brown stew rice, anyway. I love food. So, food, coffee. We'll figure that shit out. And these dudes are sitting there talking about these problems. I look at them, I'm like, yo, y'all taking the step stuff a bit too serious, right? And they all looked at me like, you're damn right, man. This is life or death. What? And they said, yeah. This dude, Doc, was sitting there. Doc was, yo, man, how much time you got? I'm like, I got 54 days. What time you got? And these guys went around a circle for 16 years, 18 years, 34 years, 28 years, 10, 5, 3, 1, 1. 54 days. And I was inspired because these guys were on fire. They were talking about God, the 12 steps, and you better get you a sponsee. Get you a newcomer. You don't have one? No. Get you one. You can't find one here? No. Go to meetings and find them. And if it gets too bad, go ask to a treatment center. And if it gets real bad, go to the club and hang out. But don't go by yourself. Take about 3 or 4 guys with you. I haven't had to go to the club, but I've gone to AA Clubhouse. NA Clubhouse. See, what I experienced that moment was living the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. There is no differentiation between, okay, we're going to talk about recovery. Okay, now we stop. Now we're going to talk about life. Oh, everyone I've ever seen do that keeps getting white chips. I want to be part of the, I like blue chips. Called the Blue Zone. I love it. But I did not know what else was going to come down. So I go to this men's spiritual retreat. We get there, and we're sitting there, and Don's talking about, you know, we sit down and do this damn fifth step. And I had to write down the stuff in this fourth step. And let me tell you, this nice gentleman told me to redo it again. I thought I was going to bust his ass. I thought I was going to bust him in the head. Do it again. You know. I'm mad, man. What you talking to? Because I was hurt. My feelings are hurt, easily hurt. I'm relying on me. That's called a defect. There's spiritual principles to all that. Awareness, a conscious awareness of a higher power. We call that step 11. I didn't know that then. I go sit in this workshop. They had a four-step workshop. And they're talking about resentments. My resentment was not towards my sponsor, who I thought it would be. Not towards my wife, who happened to piss me off again. It's to God. Out the clear blue, just God. Where the hell did that come from? How come God, Kenny? God made me an alcoholic and a dope fiend. He took my grandmother from me, my grandfather from me, the two people that I love dear. My two best friends were like brothers to me. F them. That's not exactly what I said, but hand clap, attaboys, all this cool stuff. You're in a great spot. And what happened was I get up, we had a break, and I go outside. My mouth never opened. I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm like, all right, God, if you're the real deal, prove it. And I don't hear them birds either. And this guy comes walking around the corner and says, hey, man, I heard you got a problem with God. To this day, I don't know who that man is, but I was inspired and touched at that moment. And I was thrust forward to continue to move and do this deal. And later on, about 3 months later, I go to this man who was used to be a great grand sponsor, and he passed away, Bill Roop. And I would talk to Roop quite a bit. And he had a celebration, and I went there. And there's a part in his book where I feel, it says we feel safe and secure. Like, and I sat there and I felt that way for the first time. Like, confident. Like, man, I can do anything. Just confident with it. Not cocky, just like, first time I ever felt that. Flash forward a couple more months. Actually, a whole another year goes around, and Rusty Jones would always, he always share that you hit a bottom, Mr. Bright. And they suck. I just do. I can't blame it on the dope and the alcohol no more. My bottom was, I was fired from my job that I had. It was a fear. I was like, oh, what the hell I do? And, I've always been the guy that looks and like, well, ain't nothing else working but this deal. I'm going to trudge harder into this, see what happens. And we got through it. And I had a low spot. Got real depressed. I thought about killing myself. I'm going to share with you real quick before I go what AA has really done. I came in here angry. I came in here with destructive motives. And I sat there in my garage that day, pulled home after being told no 4 times from interviews, overqualified. I was like, you know, my family would be better off without me. Go ahead and close the garage door down, crack this window, let this joker ride out. I don't even know what song I was playing. And then all of a sudden, my kids come to the door happy to see me. My wife comes in happy to see me. I'm like, have y'all been smoking dope or something? What you happy to see me for? And immediately, I stepped out of myself and saw, like, I got to be there to help them. They're not alcoholics. But my job is to be my children's sponsor because they're newcomers to life. I've learned that here in AA. And AA's messed up my anger. It's helped me to laugh, which is the healing. The crying, which is the cleansing. And I had to get involved with these 12 steps with a sponsor. And I've gone through these 12 steps many times. But I've been through them with my sponsor once. Y'all hear me? I didn't sit around waiting for Don to take me back to the 12 steps. Don, some of you are going to go back through them again with another guy. Don, thank you. You want to thank me? Do this for the next guy. It ain't about me. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a selfish program. It's a program of love, dedication, perseverance, and trust. So, I'm going to read one thing. I'm going to walk off the door. There's a promise. Anybody here ever heard the promises? I know you're tired. Raise your mother. Anybody here ever heard the promises? Goddamn. You feel all alone. Raise your hand. No. There's more than just the promises. We hear it a lot. And they're great and wonderful. And I need to hear them. There's another one. It's a lot more. At least 100 of them. This will cut from page 75. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we're delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone in perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we're on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. And God bless you and keep you. Thank you.
Wonderful. I have asked Gail to give out the chips.
Thank you. Here I am, Gail, an alcoholic.
Hey, Gail.
All right, in AA, we use chips to mark our time. We'll start with a white chip. If you heard something you like and you want to walk this way, or if you're coming back in, you want to pick up a white chip.
Inside. The bottle broke all the time.